is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The Revolution with Juan McCartney is sponsored by J.S. Johnson, Burger King, Commonwealth Bank, Boost Academy, Ron's Electric Motors, Bank of the Bahamas, Deposit Insurance Corporation, the Progressive Liberal Party, and Wendy's.
Good afternoon, Bahamas, and welcome to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. I don't know what's going on outside. It's wild, wild stuff. It's been super windy and rainy since last night. A mini hurricane happened yesterday or overnight, and I guess it took a lot of the political signs down. You go investigate that. I just said, just send your election investigation unit to go check it out. Maybe you could lock up the wind. Go find Mother Nature. Holler before the court. Perp Walker shackled like a maniac. All right. So... it is crazy, though. I was at, the power went off at one point, and my daughter woke up. She said she was scared. It was like 3:30 in the morning. I had to take her back to bed, so I didn't get a great night's sleep, but I slept through most of it. Now, I wake up, and everything's all over the yard. By the way, the FNM did come through yesterday. They just slid like a flyer under the door. Not sure what I did with it. I didn't even read it. I just saw it was FNM. But I'm going to check it out when I go home, just for fun. See what pops up. I was at a funeral earlier before I got here. My neighbor, Mrs. Nairn, she... was laid to rest today. May she rest in peace. Rise in glory. And I was one of the pallbearers, and it was clear when we got there, and then it started raining and winding from nowhere, and I got tagged in the face by an umbrella, like right by my eye. And so there's a mark there. I say that to say, just to share with you my pain. All right? What does it say? Public service announcement. Please, political billboards need proper footing. Yeah, they're all over the place. Like I said, go check it out, right? All right, we got a few things to talk about today. We're going to be talking with Wayne Monroe for a bit in the second hour. But we're also going to be talking some politics before that because some interesting things are happening. We're hearing from former prime ministers. Now, I'm not a person who is very easily led. When I do make up my mind about something after consideration, I'm usually like, I am where I am, unless somebody can give me an argument that sways me, right? I'm willing to change my position. So yesterday, we had, as a headline in the paper, the call from the Progressive Liberal Party to let people in quarantine vote. And I thought, that wasn't a great idea. Just let the people stay where they are and we'll deal with that another time, you know? However, after seeing Marvin Dames saying that it's something that they actually may consider and will seek clarity on from the competent authority, and after reading the editorial in the Nassau Guardian, I didn't write it, but I'm going to cite some of it. I got to say, I think that people in quarantine should be accommodated to vote. I think if you call an election and you realize that there's a circumstance where many eligible registered voters have been cut off from participating in the process because of your order, then you should be able to accommodate them. Find a way to accommodate them. All right, as I said, online voting to me would be ideal, but I didn't see a way in law to accommodate them yesterday. But then again, there is nothing in law that prohibits them from voting other than your order. Because if you are a contact of someone with COVID-19, then, and you're not symptomatic and you've not tested positive, then you should be able to vote. In fact, if you have COVID-19 and you're ambulatory, you're still up and about, you should also be able to vote. Now, am I saying let all the COVID people come on with the people who don't have COVID? No, that's not what I'm saying. All right? We can think more clearly than that. So I think the people in quarantine should be accommodated, and I'm interested to see how they're accommodated, because what you don't want to do is disenfranchise voters, right? It's our most important mechanism as a citizen to have our voices heard. So at no cost do you disenfranchise voters. And like Marvin Dames said, he's going to seek clarity on it, because they don't want to disenfranchise people. I think they should be accommodated. Now, how you do it is a different story. So let's look at some examples. All right? So under the Parliamentary Elections Act of the Bahamas, the only way, if you're over the age of 18, a Bahamian citizen, and ordinarily resident in the Bahamas, the only things that prevent you from voting is if you're deemed to be a lunatic or of unsound mind by virtue of any finding or declaration under any act. If you are infected with COVID, if you are quarantined because you may have COVID, you have the right to vote. And I don't think it's fair to cut those people off at all. And so I'll agree with the PLP. They should be accommodated. And it sounds like Marvin Dames is saying they have a point. This has happened in other countries where during the COVID surge or during a COVID, they have had elections. Yes? Prior to the United States 2020, I'm quoting from the editorial, prior to the United States 2020 presidential elections, the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention issued guidance that those who tested positive for COVID-19 could vote in person on poll day and recommended that such voters wear masks when casting their ballots. See, so your beloved Centers for Disease Control, you always quote me from, all right? They said if you tested positive for COVID-19, you could vote in person. Of course, they have mail-in voting in almost every state in the United States, or every state. India's State Election Commission set guidelines for COVID-positive voters and those in quarantine, which enable such individuals to vote at the polls via a certified list of special voters generated by health officials, and their votes would be cast on poll day after all other voters had cast their ballot. The Cayman Islands established protocols wherein those in isolation or quarantine could vote via a mobile voting system, which permitted electoral teams to go to the voter's quarantine location to facilitate the casting of their ballot. Malaysia designated a special time on poll day to enable symptomatic voters or those under quarantine to cast their ballot. Israel established protocols wherein quarantine voters were permitted to cast their ballot in person, masked and via specially equipped voting booths, after which time they were required to return to quarantine. Jamaica designated a time period on poll day for quarantined and COVID-positive voters ahead of its snap election last year, with additional provisions such as a requirement for such voters to drive unaccompanied to the polls and back to quarantine. So this is not something that is unique to us. Y'all keep reminding me the pandemic's happening all over the world. The rest of the world seems to be managing this without disenfranchising voters. So I am in agreement with Valentine Grimes and the Progressive Liberal Party, not because it's them, but because having thought through it once more and having been given a compelling argument as to why they should be allowed to vote, and given examples of where other countries were able to navigate this without disenfranchising people, I agree that those in quarantine should be allowed to vote, and those infected with COVID should be allowed to vote, and it is on the state to accommodate them, because it is the state who has called the election. The head of state, the testicular head of state, who has called this election at this time. Now, you go, why call an election at this time? You know COVID's happening now. Let's look at the cabinet ministers, what their rationale is, right? So Marvin Daines, who's tasked with overseeing parliamentary elections, says, well, when is a good time to call election? And hey, okay, fair enough. You don't know what's going to happen in next May. You don't know what the situation will be like. True. Of course, you've had former Prime Minister Ingram give arguments as to why maybe it's not a good idea. We got a phone line. Let's go to the phone line. 323-6232, 325-4316, and 325-4259. Let's take this call, Arlington. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hello.
Yes, hello. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you doing? Calling from Freeport.
Hi. You're on air. How's it going?
Oh, it's raining over here. I'm calling concerning the FISL.
Yes?
The Grand Bahama.
Right.
We have yet to get any FISL came from Nassau. Mm-hmm. And what they're saying now is only children are allowed to get FISL. But we understood adults are getting FISL in Nassau.
They said in Grand Bahama, only children can get Pfizer?
Only children. I just came from the center.
Okay.
And what happened? They don't even have it here. They're having it here on Friday.
Yeah, it hasn't come yet.
Right, it ain't reached yet. But they said, I scheduled to do my vaccine. And the only thing they're telling me they're going to give us is the AstraZeneca here. And the children, 12 and up, will get the Pfizer. That's not right.
Yeah, that's not right. I don't. You're sure? You know, who told you that?
I spoke to one of the nurses himself. Who would have given it? The nurse told me that.
Yeah. Okay. Let me check on that.
We've been hearing that all around, but I read it personally before I go there. I waste my time thinking I'm going to get Pfizer and they're going to give me something. I don't want.
You want the Pfizer?
I want Pfizer. Grandma want Pfizer.
I have no information that they're only offering it to 12, yes. to 18, to 17. But I'm gonna check. I'm gonna check on that. Okay.
On 12 only.
They may have told you that, but I don't know that that's the case. So before you go with that, let me try to find out. Okay.
Please.
Okay.
Thank you.
No problem. Yeah. That doesn't make any sense to me. Because a lot of people were waiting on Pfizer. They didn't want AstraZeneca, right? You got options. You have a tableau of vaccines to shoot up with. This says, people on remand at the prison, unconvicted, should be allowed to vote too. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Absolutely correct. People on remand at the prison should be allowed to vote as well. All right? Reason you shouldn't be able to vote is if you're under a sentence of imprisonment or death, or if you're deemed to be a lunatic or of unsound mind by virtue of any finding or declaration under any act. All right, the act gives provisions for those who are ill to vote, for those who are sick, for those who are infirmed to vote. We need to expand the ability of people to vote. All right? Yeah, so the people of the prison, they should be allowed to vote as well if they're not under a sentence. It says, what about the safety of the folks working the polls? How do you take their rights into account as well to not be put in such danger by their employer? Good question. Great question. So what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to either let people go to those in quarantine and they will have personal protective equipment, or you're going to have to designate a special time or location for those in quarantine to go and make sure that the area is properly sanitized, make sure that the poll workers are wearing personal protective equipment, etc. All right? So they can make it happen. It says they have the right to vote. Otherwise, you have to test everybody before they vote and remove them from the line if positive. Yep. Says, how does quarantine make you more infectious than if you have COVID, but you're not in quarantine? It doesn't. It doesn't. So I think they should be accommodated. Let's not just dismiss them. It says, hey, Juan, I really, really, really respect you. Please, please see if you hold the Prime Minister accountable for not wanting to debate the issue with Brave Davis. Please don't let him get away with that this election. I must not let him get away and would respect. You want me to just call him out on it? You should debate Brave Davis. You should debate Brave Davis. I don't see why not. I don't know that that's going to be a very intellectually stimulating affair, but you should debate Brave Davis. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Juan McCartney, Speaker of the House Assembly.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm wonderful.
Awesome.
I think you'd make a wonderful Speaker of the House Assembly.
A Speaker of the House of Assembly?
Yeah, man.
Okay.
You're radical.
You're radical. Okay.
Why are you laughing?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I mean, they can appoint you as Speaker of the House Assembly.
That is super random. Super random. Why is that on your mind?
Take a chance.
To be Speaker of the House of Assembly.
Yeah. You only 45.
True. I might do that.
You could do that, man.
Yeah. Not like no time soon. But I could do that.
Not with me. Wait. I ain't get too much longer to live, so you better do that now.
You want to see this happen before you go?
Yeah, wait.
All right. I'll see what I can make happen for you. I'll see what I could do. All right. Sure. This is one. If the government had a decent log of all the quarantined persons, it would be fine. But I know at least 7 people who self-quarantined that were never contacted by the Ministry of Health after they reported they have COVID. But the government has no idea of these numbers, and that will require a whole other separate registration. You make a good point. If your contact tracing's in place, like you said it was, then it shouldn't be that difficult. Juan, not only should everyone be allowed to vote, but the registry should be back open for at least a week so persons can register to vote. PM mislead the people. I don't know about reopening the registry. What's that going to do? Just that, I mean, you know. I guess it would put more people on the rolls, but they had an opportunity to register. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon, Mr. Juan Miller. How are you? Juan McCartney, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Mr. McCartney, now we know school was closed and open from last year.
Right.
You could tell me now, the Minister of Education, Mr. Jeffrey Lloyd, could not get those schools, those classrooms ready for these children to be inside school face-to-face with these children, the plexiglass, the hand sanitizers and stuff. You think they couldn't have this, the school ready?
Well, let me say this. I've looked into this issue, and my information is that it was the Ministry of Health officials who is preventing the schools from opening because the Ministry of Education officials believe they can open safely.
But listen, Mr. Wimbledon does not know ministry or you know doctor. So I don't know that he could come and come giving up what you know advice.
It's not him.
So that we've been and just going for 2 years. These children need to get in front of these teachers to learn because they are not learning on these tablets.
I agree, totally.
They are not learning on this tablet.
Nope.
And then Mr. Jeffrey Lloyd, let me tell you something. I can let him know now. He been here in Pastel and Soul Beach just last night. He better forget about it because Barker's Roll is going to beat him in Soul Beach because when he came in first, he said he goes fire 5,000 people and those 5,000, some of them was from Soul Beach. He is wasting his time. And tell Mr. Wells, for me, I hope he's listening to me. You are not a doctor. And number two, these children is not learning in on no these tablets. These children need to go face-to-face with these teachers because they are not learning.
I totally agree.
They are not learning. So they need to get their act together, get these children in these schools, get these plastic, whatever the glass name, get the hand sanitizer, everything what they need, put it inside. They need to hire people, the mandate to be there with the children to make sure the children them hand sanitize their hand and stuff, man. These children need to get in front of you. You can tell me we can let these children go down in the drain.
Yeah. It's agreed that they need to go to vote. This person says, McCartney, are you out of your mind? You're suggesting that COVID patients vote. I absolutely am suggesting that COVID patients vote, and I am far from out of my mind. And if I'm out of my mind, then the officials in India are out of their mind. If I'm out of my mind, then the officials in the Cayman Islands who allowed COVID patients to vote are out of their mind. If I'm out of my mind, I'm in good company because the government of Malaysia allowed the people to vote. If I'm out of my mind, then so is the government of Israel, who allowed COVID patients to vote. So I'm quite comfortable with feeling that Jamaica, they're out of their mind since they allowed COVID patients to vote. So I'm quite comfortable with the company that I am in. All right. Thanks so much. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon, Juan McCartney.
How's it going?
Fine. Now, Pfizer is the Mercedes-Benz of pharmaceuticals. Do you realize Pfizer has been around from 1849 before we were the slaves? Pfizer has developed penicillin, the blue pill. Now that's the Cadillac of all of the vaccine. So I guess everybody would want to take that because it's been around and it's a company that's established. So we need to get more of that. Now getting back to election, if we need to have, if I could. There, my bed and order from Walmart shouldn't be able to come drop our boxes at the police station. I'm like, we can have you. You know, this line. This line could be terrible. When the Debbie voted, the Debbie vote. Should we be that, like, how, like, this is 2021. This starting line is from back in the day. Should we be like, come drop our boxes or some different electronic thing? One?
I think that we should be able to vote electronically. I think that we should be able to vote online. I think that we should be able to vote by a system of drop boxes or mail-in. I think that we should expand the options to vote. I think we're living in like the 19th century, the way we're conducting these elections.
I'll have to be social distance, right? People take their lives of being like the day we vote. It's going to be miles and miles in the hot sun. This is summer. I got a problem. Why would minutes for the election doing a virus war? Yeah, this Delta strain is so bad. It is so contagious. It is destroying even young people. They say, I mean, like, I just don't get it. Papa said he's just distressed. Like, this country is gonna either collapse because voting will be after them. Imagine when the two parties win, it'll be one big party. Everybody drinking and hugging, spreading the virus. What happens on September 17th or the week after that? Why was Minnesota election doing a virus war? We had war with Delta.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't get this. What is this mind? And then the three ministers, right, yesterday, remember what I say? The Americans had the election. That's a set date. We had the Delta virus strain yet.
Yeah, the Americans had no choice but to have the election.
This is just terrible what Minnesota does. This is terrible because this lack of speech, this lack of thinking. I mean, I'm gone. I'm out.
Okay. I highly doubt anything that Minnesota would have done with regard to the election would please you. But, yeah, I'm, as I said, I'm not easily led. And someone said, reconsider the stupid thought. I don't know why y'all got to come at me like that. Like, I'm stupid because I'm not. Or use that type of language because it ain't cool. Right? I could call you stupid for wanting to disenfranchise voters because they're in quarantine, but I don't. Right? I think you should protect the votes of the people. I think you have to navigate that as a government. It is your constitutional responsibility to ensure that as many people who are able to vote do so. It is your constitutional responsibility. It says, do you have a list of names of returning officers for polls for the general election? I don't. This says, is it okay for Mary Walker to be the returning officer for who? For football Mouton? For her minister? Mary Walker can't be a poll worker? Why not? Why not? Tell me how y'all are generating this list of people who should not do certain things. Is this still from the general orders, this antiquated thing? When is the general orders? The 50s? Like, why can't she be a poll worker? Why can't Carlisle Bethel sit on the board of the Affordable Homes Development? Why are we doing this thing where we're figuring out how to be more... Why can't the COVID quarantine people vote? Why do we have to always, in this small society that we have, figure out a way to exclude people rather than include them? What informs your mindset about that? This person is still saying, as a leader in the community realm others look up to, I think you're being rather irresponsible by suggesting such action. I mean, we're going to disagree, all right? We're going to disagree on that. I'm quite intelligent. I'm university educated. I've marshaled my thoughts on this. I think the government should accommodate people in quarantine to vote. And in fact, they may do so. So then you can call them stupid. All right. This is... One, good day. Don't you know this government can't walk and chew gum? At the same time. It says, how many of those countries had elections in this current Delta wave? Whatever the plan, it better be well thought of. Yeah. I don't know how many of the countries had elections in the so-called Delta wave, but you're really telling me that calling an election when you know you have the Delta wave is an excuse to disenfranchise a significant number of the electorate. You called the election. You figure out how to do it during the Delta wave, yes? Then you figure out how to deal with the people in quarantine. I don't think that's unreasonable at all. You called the election. You understand? Just like when you shut down businesses during the pandemic, you figured out a way to try to accommodate them so they could keep their rent going, and you figured out a way to try to put money in people's pockets so they could still get food, and you figured out a way to have a feeding network to feed people. Figure out how to accommodate those who are infected with COVID, who wish to vote, and who are in quarantine, who wish to vote. The onus is not on us, right? If you call the election, then that's on you. All right. And in fact, how would you even know if COVID-infected people are voting? Unless they told you. Unless the ministry has some list. And there's no legal provision through which they can bar these people from voting. None. They can only use the emergency order to try to subvert the people's right to vote. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Juan.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, how are you?
Great.
I'm glad you raised the issue on your show. I just wanted to contribute as well, just to add a little bit of perspective, no pun intended.
Right.
But in terms of this whole issue of who's positive and who's not positive and who is in quarantine and who's not in quarantine, people have to remember, it's not the quarantine that makes you infectious. It's whether you're in the infectious stage of your SARS-CoV-2 infection.
True.
Meaning, whether you're in quarantine or not, you still will pose the same risk if you're at that stage of the infection. And the reality is there are going to be a lot of people on election day just by virtue of how widely the disease is being spread or the virus is being spread in the community. There are going to be a lot of people on that line who have COVID and you won't know. Poll workers could have COVID. The person standing in the front of you or the back of you could have COVID. The fact that they're in quarantine doesn't make them any more dangerous. And I think people are getting caught up on the quarantine bit. But whether I know that you have it or I don't know, if you have it, you have it.
Right, exactly. So,
and that's right. The issue that a lot of people are getting tripped up on, the quarantine aspect. You're not more dangerous because you're in quarantine. You're in quarantine because that's where the competent authority happened to tell you that you need to be.
Exactly.
But there are so many more people out in the community who have COVID and they don't know it.
Correct.
And so that's going to be the challenge there, in that because you're having an election at a time where the virus is being spread so widely throughout the community, you're going to have a lot of people voting who are infected. And that's the part that we've got to focus on, how to make the election safe in that context. And like, you know, if you're going to restrict people in quarantine from voting simply because they have COVID, then what are you going to do? Start testing people before they enter the booth? And if they have COVID, they're no longer allowed to vote?
Exactly.
Because if that's the case, then what you're saying is the only thing that should restrict you is not whether you have COVID, but whether you happen to be where the competent authority told you to go. So really your voting right is contingent on one man, is really what you're saying.
Correct.
Because it should be about who has it and who doesn't have it. So I think that's the perspective that we need to have.
Absolutely. Totally agree with you. Thank you so much. That brings a lot of clarity to it. It says Canada's election is September 20th. Exactly. Canada's having an election. And in fact, Canada, I believe they are not barring people who are infected with COVID from voting. And also Canada has mail-in voting. All right. Let's go to... It says, Taiwan, be careful of giving them ideas. They may say you have to be vaccinated to vote or take a test at the booth. Let's do the call, then we go to break. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, everyone. How are you today?
I'm great.
Well, I have an idea. Those persons are in quarantine. There's no guarantee that those persons in quarantine do have COVID.
Right.
They're just in quarantine because they were in contact with someone that has COVID.
Or, as Sharon said, that they're at the stage where they could pass along any COVID infection.
Yes, that too. But I have an idea. All right, you see the facility in the rear of the police college, the racing facility?
Mm-hmm.
that has that high wall, why can't they have a drive-through there with tents that the persons can just drive up and they have a special ink or something for them to dip their finger in and present their voter's card or their documents and just vote and drive off?
Right. I agree.
You know, but that, because that facility is that's walled in, so that's a better area than any other enclosed area.
Yeah, I think outdoor locations are a good idea.
All right, you know, thank you,
depending on the weather. Thanks. All right, we got to take a break. We'll be back.
Throughout our lifetime, we must all make decisions. No matter how we choose, the right one just needs to be made. Like having J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers as your insurance partner. We've been serving the Bahamas for over 100 years. Whether you need home, motor, marine, or commercial insurance, make the right decision. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com.
J.S. Johnson Insurance.
Many people wonder, what makes Boost Academy unique? Maybe it's our 8-to-1 student-staff ratio, the emphasis we place on student individuality, our focus on numeracy, literacy, and creating better citizens by sharpening students' critical thinking skills. One of our many talented teachers, program facilitators, and mentors. Or just maybe it is our commitment to taking full responsibility for your child's education, no hidden fees or costs. Regardless of what it is, let us help your child reach their full potential. Boost Academy is currently enrolling students of grades 4 through 12. Visit www.boostbahamas.com to apply now.
It's summertime. The temperature is rising, the beach is calling, and the bills are piling up. You need relief. Let BOB make your summer as sweet as Eleuthera's finest pineapples with the lowest consumer loan rates in the country. Consolidate debt to reduce your monthly payments, secure funds for school fees and home repairs, or save big by switching to a BOB mortgage. Sweet relief is here. Apply today at BOB, your bank of solutions. Terms and conditions apply.
At Wendy's, spicy means Wendy's spicy. Unlike the other guys, our spicy activates all your senses. For a taste of Wendy's spicy, try the new Chipotle Crunch Cheeseburger made with fresh beef or the new Chipotle Crunch Chicken Sandwich, both with delicious crispy jalapenos, Chipotle aioli, cheddar cheese sauce, and much more. Taste the Wendy's spice in every bite of irresistible Chipotle Crunch Chopped Fries too. Stop it today for the flavor you crave. Wendy's, different inside and out.
At Ron's Electric Motors, they repair and rewind all major brands of electric motors, including water pumps, generators, and the generator's back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They're equipped to handle up to 850 kilowatts and rewind up to 450 horsepower motors. They're conveniently located on the corner of Wolf and Clarence Roads and are open weekdays 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays till noon. They offer 24 hours emergency assistance. You can reach them at 242-356-0249.
The PLP is hosting an economic summit where financial experts and business leaders share ideas and plans for transforming the Bahamian economy. Speakers will discuss the PLP's economic plan, a new blueprint to create a Bahamian economy that works for everyone. Discussions include opportunities in high tech, renewable energy, and training for entrepreneurs. Go to PLPEconomicSummit.com and learn how you can be part of a new Bahamian economy.
This has been a paid political announcement by the PLP.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good afternoon, Bahamas. Welcome back to the revolution. Here on Guardian Radio, we were talking about disenfranchising voters, that we shouldn't do that. I believe that people in quarantine should be allowed to vote. I believe people with COVID should be allowed to vote. And in fact, people with COVID have the legal right to vote. People in quarantine have the legal right to vote. This is one, the most idiotic thing I've heard you say and continue to say on your show is that you don't care who wins the general election. So why in heaven's name on September 16th you intend to vote? Why don't you just stay at home? Or is it that you're talking nonsense because you have a microphone in front of you or just being disingenuous about voting for a PLP Brave Davis? Okay. Why have cell phones and social media made us so rude? Can you not disagree respectfully as an adult? Can you not marshal an argument and say, I disagree with your point of view. Here's why. Here's my point of view. We have to go idiotic, insane, stupid. That is our first impulse when we disagree with something. To hurl pejoratives, to have ad hominem attacks on people. I do not care who wins the general election. That you do is your business. That I don't is my business. Grow up. This says, I think quarantine person should be accommodated if they're already registered. They had the opportunity as the registry has been open since January. If they're not registered, then no. Already registered and persons already on the register, whether quantified or not, should be accommodated. This is an unusual time which requires unusual accommodation, but no, if those persons have not taken the time to register themselves all year, we have a process. But even if you are positive and in quarantine, you can wear protective gear and be required to social distance when making your vote if you're allowed to vote. Government has to make accommodations for the registered quarantine person. It has to happen. It's their constitutional right. Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, if you didn't register to vote, you didn't register to vote. And that's dog eat your lunch. It says, what's stupid is thinking it's right to punish citizens in quarantine and not allow them to vote over a virus that is not their fault and they have no control over. Good afternoon, McCartney. It's not only the summer months, but the height of the pandemic and also the peak of the hurricane season. Is the Ministry of Disaster Preparedness and Recovery even watching the tropics at this time? I hope there's a solid plan in place, especially if a hurricane was to come days before or on election day. Even if only one island is affected, it affects the entire process. Also, persons in quarantine should be accommodated, as they were not the ones to call this snap election. Preparedness is key. Says, don't worry about them. Your show and you are a light of intelligence and knowledge among a darkness of lackluster and ignorant thinking. Okay, thank you. This says, good afternoon. I need you to read this message on your show today. It's directed to the Minister of Education. I think it is poor that not one thought was put into consideration of the special needs children. That's supposed to start school this semester. My child is diagnosed with moderate to severe autism and ADHD. He is nonverbal and cannot sit in front of our TV for 3 straight minutes. So how does the government expect them to successfully engage in virtual learning? Allow the special needs children to go to school. You know what? You know what? Thank you for sending that text. Because in all my anger over having to deal with the virtual school in our household, I totally neglected to think about the people who have it so much worse, not only economically, but just it's unworkable for them. So thank you for sending that. I think that they do need to figure out how to accommodate special needs children. I definitely agree with you. And thanks for helping me to reconsider other people other than myself. We got to take a break. We're going to speak with Wayne Monroe for a bit when we come back, and we'll continue speaking.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Girl, Junior just showed me Bulla Boy in his phone.
What you mean? He take picture of that good for nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bulla hair, you say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police want to find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and it will go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows it's you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried the other day and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I will quick round the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good afternoon, Bahamas, and welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. As promised, we have Freetown candidate for the Progressive Liberal Party, Wayne Munro, QC, on the line. He's joining us via Zoom. Good afternoon, Mr. Munro.
Good afternoon, Juan. Call me Wayne.
Wayne, I'll call you Wayne. Okay. I was, trying to be formal. All right. But I'm so glad that I have you because I was discussing in the previous hour the Progressive Liberal Party's concern that those who are in quarantine should be able to vote. And even those who are infected with COVID should be able to vote. I support that position. I've been called stupid and insane. For it. Does this make sense to you, though? And why does it make sense?
It does make sense, Juan, because voting is a fundamental right. And all we need to do is look around our region, and Jamaica has managed to vote and permit quarantined people to vote. I don't know of any country, civilized country, that's gone to an election that has not made provisions for it. It is simply a matter of determining how many people it is. We are told that if you observe the protocol, you can protect yourself from infection from persons who are infected. So it is not automatic that because you're infected, you're going to infect someone else.
Right.
So I don't know of any civilized country that hasn't been able to manage it in elections during the pandemic. So you make perfect sense to me. All you need to do is look around. We've been following the world and everything else, eh? So we say we follow the world in lockdowns, we follow the world in this. Why would we not be following the world? Well, why would we not be following the world in how you deal with voting during a pandemic?
Yeah, I completely agree. At first I did not agree, but I reconsidered it and heard some arguments to the contrary, and I've changed my position. I think they should be allowed to vote, and anyone who, in fact, we were looking at parts of the act, and someone had said even the prisoners on remand should be able to vote because they're not.
And that is not true, and you would just make provisions for a polling place in the prison.
Absolutely. Now, let me ask you about a different thing. The leader of the Progressive Liberal Party has challenged the Prime Minister to a debate. And clearly the Prime Minister has not yet responded. Why the need to debate the Prime Minister, and what are your thoughts on him not responding to that challenge?
Well, we are headed for a general election. The behavior of this Prime Minister has been odd for the last, I would say, year or more. You would recall, as a journalist, he started out during the pandemic having press conferences where the press could engage him, and we could have the Fourth Estate, which is the press, carry out its function of holding leaders to account. And then that just abruptly stopped when some of you asked questions that were a little difficult to answer. And then we had this phenomenon where the emergency regulations, the emergency powers regulation, required a tabling of an accounting of money spent. And that has not happened, even though there's been an expiration of, I think, at least three states of emergency. And you've just had a complete failure to account. So the first reason for a debate is it facilitates people being accountable. This Prime Minister said that he would be big on accountability, and it turns out that that wasn't the case. And importantly now, if you look at the FNM narrative going forward in their general election strategy, they are talking about the leader of the PLP. In my judgment, they're running on with a lot of foolishness about the leader, but they're talking about the leader. So why, if they say it's about leadership, why would it not be almost automatic that there be a debate between the leaders? Because Dr. Minnis isn't running for Cat Island, Brave isn't running for Kalani. But the whole concept of it is, you all are saying, and how they pitch their ads, our man is better than your man. So it's almost like one, you know, the old case where everyone chose their champion and they stepped in the ring and they duked it out. You are choosing to say the men at the top are the champions. Go at it and have a debate. Well, go at it in terms of the vote. So the public is to make an informed decision. And that is the FNM position. And you only need to look at the FNM election poster. Dr. Minnis is out big by himself, and the candidates are little people. You look at the PLP poster, you have Brave and Chester up top, moderately larger, and the candidate, the team, below. So when everything the FNM does is driven towards a man, a man, a man, it behooves them to have their man debate our man.
Absolutely. I think that public debate could be a good thing. Now, I've got to ask you about the election and what comes after. So, if the Progressive Liberal Party were to win the next general election, clearly you're a man of many talents. Do you envision yourself serving in a Progressive Liberal Party cabinet?
Well, when the Progressive Liberal Party wins on the 16th of September, I will certainly, and I've said to Brave, I'm available to him. And that is my position.
Okay. Now, someone's asking me to ask you about your party's position on campaign finance reform and then fully enacted freedom of information legislation. And I think that's a valid question, because we don't know how these political campaigns are funded. And I think it's past time that we do.
I have not seen a final settled position on campaign finance reform, and it just may be my ignorance, Juan, and I'm the type of Negro, if I don't know something, I will tell you. I think we have a fair idea that campaigns are financed by persons' personal means, contributions from other people. Campaign finance reform is based on basically limiting what can be collected from persons unless you go to the extreme form of campaign finance reform where the state gives you X amount of dollars and that's all that you can spend. And then that's an expense on the state.
Right.
On the issue of freedom of information, the Freedom of Information Act, there's a misconception. The Freedom of Information Act was fully enacted by the PLP in our last term. We brought it into force, the first part, because you will recall we reworked it. The first one was impotent, to put it just bluntly. Mm-hmm. We reworked it with civil society, gave it some teeth, gave it some strength, gave it some erection. And then we brought the first part into force. The election came, we were voted out. The FNM came into power, and they then spent, I think, up to $16 million educating public servants as to how you operate the Freedom of Information Act. Mm-hmm. They brought into force the whistleblowing provision of it, and then they did nothing until very recently.
Yeah.
And very recently, they purported to bring the rest of it into force, appoint the commissioner and his assistant, and then say that they aren't going to be able to do any serious work under it for at least 6 months, which clearly would have taken us past an election cycle, even if it were to run the ordinary course. Mm-hmm. So they were very cynical in their management of the Freedom of Information Act, having called for it during the general election and knowing full well that it was fully enacted. You see, I don't believe that they are as dancy as they would make us appear that they are. I believe that they know exactly what they're doing and they're playing ignorant conveniently. So they play ignorant as if they don't know that the act is in force, as if they don't know having spent $16 million, the next step is to speak to the leader of the opposition with regard to appointment of the commissioner and his assistant. And they just do that on purpose because they're just trying to kick the can down the road past this general election.
Gotcha. Now, let me ask you about Freetown. What are some of your plans for Freetown? I live just outside of Freetown in St. Anne's, and you would know as well as I that there's a stark level of economic disparity just a few hundred yards from where your constituency begins. What are some of the things you want to do for Freetown?
Well, first of all, let me say that Freetown is the most diverse constituency in my mind in the Bahamas. It runs from the inner city. It runs to Montague Heights. Mm-hmm. It runs over the bridge to Paradise Island and encapsulates True. Ocean Club Estates even.
Yes.
And so you have the full range of it. One, I would say this. The first thing I offer is a member of parliament is supposed to represent you. I've been representing people for the last 31 years. I've been representing people where somebody says somebody has done me wrong. I want you to go get me redress. I represented the police when they said they made us work overtime entitled to be paid. Go get us our money. I represented the gaming board folk when they were made redundant and went to court and got them ordered reinstated, something that the government hasn't done yet. I represented the young Bahamians, we say, who said our father being Bahamian, us being born in the Bahamas, we're Bahamian by birth, and we went and vindicated their rights. So I have made a public reputation, I would think, in vindicating the rights of persons, particularly against government action. So in being an MP, the position is that you have to represent the interests of your constituents. And in doing that, you have to fight for things that they're entitled to. So for instance, their drains need to clean and there are trees growing in the drains in Hillside Estates out on East Bay Street. Their streets need to pave. When the government is giving out sidewalk contracts, Camp Road badly needs a sidewalk so that the children can safely walk down to Uriah McPhee and C.I. Gibson.
Yes.
Your job as an MP is to make sure that your constituency gets public service that it's entitled to. Beyond that, I'm concerned about jobs. And so I'm having one of my clients advise me on a program that could upload skills, upload vacancies, so that you do not have this oddity where you have a work permit issued for something that an unemployed Bahamian can do. Mm-hmm. And so you can just frankly introduce people, employers to employees that they might not know about. I am big on walking back to some of the policies we didn't get to finish. So the FNM has an ad about us going back to what we did in the last term. But I want to go back to Safe Bahamas. I want to go back to a community center in every inner city in the Bahamas as a method of young, middle-aged, elderly adults getting together and having a safe place where you can have generational transfer. I want to go back to that because it ought not to have been stopped, canceled, and reviewed. And for Freetown in particular, the young men tell me when they apply for a job, some of them say, you know, I put Brown Alley on it. And when they're asked, where's Brown Alley? Oh, off Camp Road. The attitude, the countenance changes, so they feel that there is an unfair position with employment. Well, to resolve that, I want to look at a fishing cooperative. And you know, Juan, the crazy thing is we confiscate, forfeit these Dominican fishing boats, and most of them, if not all of them, just end up making reefs, having been permitted to deteriorate. There's no reason, in my judgment, why that could not be put into a co-op where young men can then work that. That would be the capital injection that the government could make, and it would not cost anything out of the public treasury.
It's a very good idea.
And Freetown, in any event, we have the diversity of community where you have everyone at every level who would be able to participate in it. And I would be calling on the persons over the bridge, the persons who are in the affluent areas with the management skills to participate in that. Lastly, because I don't want to take too much time, this isn't a full plan. Mm-hmm. The young people in Freetown are just asking for equal opportunity. And the most stark example is you have smart children who get into UB for free. UB has always been free. It's only a matter of what grade levels you have to accomplish. And so when the FNM talks about making it free, that's just another lie. But you have smart children from the inner city admitted. Now they go into UB. Let's say my son goes into UB. My son can get everything he needs to participate fully in education. Whereas you have children in the inner city saying, I need to do my work on my phone because I don't have a laptop. That is not equality of opportunity, and we have to systematically address that.
Absolutely.
The PLP, sorry, go on.
No, I said you're right. That is not equal.
And the PLP is a party who believes, and you know, I will be recording a tribute to A.D. Hanna. A.D. Hanna is one of my heroes. Of all of the founding fathers, he was the one who was drawn to more than Sir Lyndon, so much so that when I went to the UK, I made it my business to go to the same inn that Mr. Hanna went to. Mm-hmm. That's the degree of esteem in which I held him. And, you know, after they lost government, I met Mr. Hanna and Sir Lyndon for the first time, and I met them in court because this nonsense about corruption is foolishness. They had to go back to work after losing government. And I met Mr. Hanna, and I found him to be an incredible advocate. And, you know, we used to have our little exchanges, and I would say, you know, when he found out I was a conservative in England, he would call me certain names, and I would call him a communist. And he said to me, you know, Munro, you have to be a communist too, because if you take care of the least of them, everything else falls into place. And that impressed me when he said it. And I told him, you know, I guess I could be a little bit of a communist. because it is, in fact, true. If you take care of the least of them, everything else will fall into place. And that is what is not happening and has gone very wrong. When you could get locked up for going to the public pump, that cannot be right. When the prime minister believes that he can lock you in your house for 24 hours, you can't be considering actual people. And what disturbed me is that my opponent, Dionisio de Aguilar, if he had walked through Camp Road, if he had walked through Clark Lane and other areas in Freetown, he would have seen public pumps, Browns Alley, Barnaby Alley. So it ought to have dawned on him, if he was representing these constituents, that wait, there's a public pump. The people can't stay in their yard. And at the table representing these people, he is supposed to say, no, Mr. Prime Minister, I don't know about Kalani, but in Freetown, there are public pumps. So in Freetown, you can't tell people stay in their houses. I know in Kalani, there may be no public pumps, but I speak for Freetown. That is what I have not been seeing for the last 4.5 years. And it's as if there is a contempt for the poor. Mm. And that's really problematic.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Wayne Monroe. Best of luck in your race there. And this certainly will not be the last time that we speak.
Thank you, Juan.
All right. Take care. We're going to go to a break, and we'll be back on the other side. Gambier? Gambier have public pumps? I'm not trying to diss. I'm just saying, like, you know. Does it? I don't know. Okay, guys, we'll be back on the other side.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important, no matter what your banking needs. Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. New technology, our online and mobile banking app, offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
In the aftermath of Hurricane Dorian, this government team.
Your aid is coming from the U.S. What are you getting from the Bahamian government?
Nothing at all.
Survivors questioned if help from the government would ever arrive.
As relief supplies are now finally arriving, volunteers complain about Bahamian government red tape.
At this point in time, we are on our own, and we're trying to get our government officials, please come down here and show your faces.
When they were needed most, this government was nowhere to be found.
This has been a paid political announcement by the PLP.
Let me ask you a few questions. What's your name?
Pam.
Favorite food?
Steak.
Beer or wine?
Wine.
Is your money safe?
It's under my bed, I guess so.
Are you serious?
Yeah, why?
Unless your money is in a bank or credit union that's a member of the Deposit Insurance Corporation, there's no guarantee it's safe.
Yeah, but what if something happens to the bank?
Your Bahamian dollar deposits are insured up to $50,000, so you'd still be ahead. Plus, your mattress might catch fire. Then what?
Man, those banks and credit unions are looking good right about now.
Visit the DIC's website at www.dic.bs. Protection for your money, guaranteed with DIC.
Summer is heating up, and Burger King Nassau is bringing the flavor. Introducing our all-new take on a classic chicken sandwich, the Barbecue Swiss Crispy King. Our new sandwich is full of smoky and tangy flavor and features our crispy chicken patty with tangy chipotle sauce, onion rings, bacon, Swiss cheese, lettuce, and tomato, plus a smoky barbecue sauce on a soft potato bun. The new Barbecue Swiss Crispy King chicken sandwich with fries and a Pepsi is a summer treat you will love to eat, but only available for a limited time, and only at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
Many people wonder, what makes Boost Academy unique? Maybe it's our 8-to-1 student-staff ratio, the emphasis we place on student individuality, our focus on numeracy, literacy, and creating better citizens by sharpening students' critical thinking skills. One of our many talented teachers, program facilitators, and mentors. Or just maybe it is our commitment to taking full responsibility for your child's education, no hidden fees or costs. Regardless of what it is, let us help your child reach their full potential. Boost Academy is currently enrolling students of grades 4 through 12. Visit www.boostbahamas.com to apply now.
Jamal, you just sitting there, drinking coconut water and smiling. Do you realize the children's school fees are due?
Yep.
And you know we gotta fix this roof, right?
Uh-huh.
And the house insurance is due again.
No problem.
No problem? How are we going to afford it all?
Honey, relax. I'm into BOB. It's all taken care of.
Apply today for a BOB consumer loan or switch and save on your mortgage with BOB. Your bank of solutions. Terms and conditions apply.
As a registered nurse, I face an increased risk of exposure to the COVID-19 virus. There are times when I have been deployed to the Lyndon Pindling International Airport during the pandemic, and I have been able to provide care for our visitors, guests, and returning residents and citizens, as well as airport staff. I am also fortunate to provide care to the elderly and others who are considered high risk for severe COVID illness. Patients put their trust in me as a caregiver, and this was the deciding factor for me to get vaccinated against COVID-19. I did the research. I weighed the risk of vaccination versus the risk of serious illness, and it only made sense to be fully vaccinated. My vaccination doesn't just protect me against serious illness or death. It protects my patients, and it also protects my 89-year-old mother. As a frontline health worker, I urge you to get vaccinated. Together, we can fight the spread of COVID-19 in the Bahamas.
This message has been brought to you by the Public Hospitals Authority and the Sandilands Rehabilitation Center.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk.
Good afternoon, Bahamas. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio. I'm Juan McCartney. I'm going to get back to all your politics and insulting messages here in a few. But first, I would be remiss if I did not address this. All right? Now, I want to know, my whole question, right, is why? Right? On this. So, front page of Nassau Guardian. By the way, pick up a copy of today's National Review. It's really insightful. The front page of Nassau Guardian says, man beaten by police awarded $163,000. Now, I'm not questioning that. I'm not asking why about that. I'm asking why this even happened. A man who was unlawfully arrested and detained, had his home searched without a warrant, and was beaten so violently by police that he lost six of his teeth, was awarded $163,000 in compensation by the Supreme Court for special damages, unlawful arrest and detention, false imprisonment, assault and battery, malicious prosecution, and aggravated and exemplary damages. ruling states that Lotario Roll, then 32 years old, was walking on Malaysia Way, Elizabeth Estates, on January 9, 2015, when police stopped him. Roll said he was returning a PlayStation 3 game CD to his cousin. Police searched Roll's phone and discovered a photo of a gun. The officers arrested Roll and took him to his home. Okay, so first, I'm not going to dwell on this forever. Firstly, you have no right as a police officer to search anyone's phone. Period. You have no right to confiscate my phone unless I am under arrest. Secondly, that there's a photo of a gun in the phone means what? How is that somehow now illegal or probable cause to arrest somebody? If there's a photo of you holding a gun, you may question that. Roll told the officers that he didn't have keys to the home and that his grandmother appeared not to be at home because she didn't answer the front door. While handcuffed, Roll was dragged to the back door of the home where police forced their way inside. While inside, the police, without a search warrant, searched and ransacked the plaintiff's home. Nothing illegal was reportedly discovered, however. The police charged the plaintiff with unlawful possession of jewelry, a PlayStation console, and games discovered in his home. Roll immediately questioned, all right, so again, nothing unlawful was discovered, right? But they still charged him with unlawful possession of jewelry, a PlayStation console, and games discovered in his home, right? None of this stuff was stolen. Roll immediately questioned Corporal Moutry by asking, how could you just break open my house and arrest me for my own property? According to Roll, this is when Corporal Moutry charged at him while still handcuffed and began repeatedly punching him in the face. One of the plaintiff's teeth flew out of his mouth and another was loosened. Despite this, the plaintiff was denied medical attention while detained in police custody. A dental report later disclosed that the plaintiff will eventually lose 6 teeth in total as a result of the damage. Roll was brought before the court, granted bail. He was unable to satisfy the bail conditions and was then remanded to the Department of Correctional Services until January 19, 2015. The prosecution later withdrew the charges against Roll on November 18, 2015. And to date, no one has introduced any charges against Roll, nor were any of his goods returned. He was allowed to see a doctor after he went to Her Majesty's prison on remand. 4 days after he was beaten by police. So you stop this guy on the street for no reason. You illegally search his phone. You cuff him, arrest him unlawfully. Go to his house, break it open unlawfully, search it unlawfully, then tell the man he's going to be charged with possessing his own material. Then when the man asks you, how could this be that you break into my house and arrest me for my own property, you knock his teeth out of his mouth. Then, while he's suffering, you take him to the police station, you book him, you leave him in the cell unattended, and the fact that you charged him means that you had to interview him. So while he's there bleeding after you beat him and you're interviewing him, through all that, he's supposed to do what? And even with all that, he still pleaded not guilty because he was granted bail. Why? You guys are forming election investigations unit. This is what needs to be dealt with. People who are charged and sworn with protecting citizens cannot be terrorizing them. I'm not saying all police are like this or even the majority of police, but this is unacceptable. We need to be addressing this. I hope he gets his money soon. I just had to, I had to say something about it because you know, and we do this thing where, not we, sorry, some of you do this thing where if it's not me, I don't care. Like, not that you're remiss in thinking about other people, you just don't care. Well, police ain't doing it to me, I don't care. None of them saying all these fellas around here are angels, but dude was just walking on the street. I can see he was robbing somebody or doing something crazy or doing something straight up illegal. He was just walking on the street. Just walking. We do this thing like it don't matter if it's not us, but it does matter. It does matter. Okay, back to your political issues. I'm trying to figure out if this guy still has a job who beat this, or if he's going to be charged with assault. That's what I'd like. Y'all charging people for stealing posters. Now, since I'm insane and stupid for suggesting people who are eligible to vote and registered to vote should be able to vote no matter what, joining me would be the Minister of National Security in being insane and stupid. Dame said, if you come in contact with someone who had the virus, there are some precautions that one must take. We have to bring some more clarity on how that happens. We want to ensure at the end of the day that all Bahamians who are registered to vote are given an opportunity in some way. Now we have to accept, therefore, that there are some circumstances and times when that is not at all possible, but that's in a small minority of cases, in a small number of cases. All right? This says, Dame said, if you're quarantined, you're probably going to have to take the necessary precautions if you have to vote. But if you're quarantined, that's something that the competent authority may have to address. Okay, so he's nuts too. Should we go full line? Sure. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello, good afternoon.
Hey, boss.
How's it going?
Aaron Kodang, Up for Life. I was wondering the same thing what you say just now when you say you want if this nigga, and you say you want if that guy still have his job.
Right.
Yeah, the police officer.
Correct.
Yeah, I guess that's what all of us out here was thinking. He's waiting for you to say, well, they fire him or something. I mean, maybe you say six teeth get knocked with the man mode.
He knocked out two, and then ultimately they got to remove the rest because they're all broken.
And I'm going to the courts agreed to give him
$163,000.
$153,000 should have been a million.
His lawyer wanted $800,000, yeah.
Yeah, should have been a little bit more. Listen, I believe, I want to tell you the truth, I believe it sounds crazy to say he just killed the officer something, officer got punched him in his mouth, right?
Right.
But we got to make an example of these cases where we hear them. Let's say it's true what you say, and the guy didn't do nothing to the officer. He just asked him, how he come in here also do this and break in here and do that. And he punched him in his nose, knock on his teeth and stuff like that. We need to make an example. You say his name is Moochie. When I say example, I mean fire him off the force and make sure people like him, we get rid of them. The other day, we had a recording, the officer, ASP Ferguson, he called you all names, beating the guy while the next prisoner was he recording and stuff like that. One, see if you could check it out, call commission or call down by the headquarters and find out if these guys them still want the police for, especially ASP Ferguson, who beat up the guy on the videotape, on the audio tape what was recorded a few months ago. He's still on the force?
Well, I don't know. The commissioner, I can't conclusively say he beat anybody, but they said that they were investigating that. All right? And I am actually quite interested in finding out what happened with this officer. I want to believe that who was commissioner? Allison Greenslade. Allison Greenslade heard about this and fired the officer. And then charged the officer for breaking the law. That's what I want to believe. So what did they do to Officer Mutri in the beating case? Is he still an officer? I don't know. I will seek to find out. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. McCartney.
How's it going?
Yeah, welcome back, brother.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, but I know you always do it, you know. I listen to the people call, and I listen to the pathetic statements and statements that really don't pan out, right? Yeah, there was a text the other day. I think it was listening to you. I believe I said 52 is looking for recognition, but that doesn't pan out because I don't call my name on the radio. So they said 52 might as well be a teacher. Little does the ignoramus know that we all are teachers. It's just the fact that what you're teaching. You see what I'm saying? So
absolutely.
There was a lady named Sharon. I don't know who she was, right?
Sharon Turner. She writes Perspective.
Yeah, but she's very intelligent, and I agree with everything what she said. And so I'm wondering here if I have a brain between my ears because I can't believe the garbage and the disinformation and the subterfuge. I mean, to be honest with you, if you're vaccinated, right, you can still house the virus in your nasal cavity. You can still contract and transmit. And so if you have not taken a Medicago nasal that kills from the point of infection, then I guess everybody... See, the thing is, they have created this paradigm. Thanks to Robert with the scare conference on the first hour, right?
Mm-hmm.
With the COVID-19, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, viruses have been around for millions of years, familiarizing and coexisting with humans, right? So viruses have been studying the immune system for over a million years, and we have just studied it for maybe less than 150, right?
Mm-hmm.
So viruses, in order to go to escape, right? Viruses mutate, and they mutate to replicate faster, and they also morph, which is called morphology, to change their shape to evade the immune system. But the immune system has countless ways of counteracting this. That's why it's trying to show the sheep. So, it's pointless. You know, of course, I didn't learn this by myself. But the thing is, it's getting scary because they're saying people don't deserve to vote. And this conformity and this, we're willing to enslave ourselves in our ignorance, Mr. McCartney. But, you know, I hate to say this, but this is what it's appearing to me. Escapeology is something that just was discovered in the 80s. So, as the gentleman called and talked about the outdoor voting stations, right?
Mm-hmm.
I give him hats off for that because we know about the transmission dynamics. Hence, we don't know who have COVID. Without vaccinated, you're still breathing it out. So we can't breathe no more, so at least we could wear masks and social distance at the polls, right, Mr. McCartney? And then another thing is no talking. Obviously, if you want to treat it 6 feet apart, you could probably say something to someone, but you don't want to have people close together and everybody talking, even though outdoor transmission is basically non-existent. I don't care what they say because scientists have been trying to control viruses for over 100 years, and they haven't, influenza viruses, and they haven't been able to do so. So they'll have to be controlling us. And it's apparent and it's overt that most people can't see what's going on. And it's hurtful, man. Have a good day, brother.
All right, my brother. Thanks so much. This says, Juan, I'm glad you didn't have Wayne in studio. He had COVID. Oh, my God. Firstly, that he already had COVID means that and he tested out of it, means that he would be immune to it. And so he has less chance of contracting it than a vaccinated person does. That's the first thing. The second thing is, and I'm not trying to call anything down on myself, I'm almost certain I have had COVID since the pandemic started. And I'm pretty certain that many, many thousands of you had COVID and didn't know it. Because the people who are testing are the people who want to go away or go to a hotel or to test in for their job. But if, barring that, only the people who are getting sick or closely contacted are getting tested. Anyway, not that I'm saying I don't have any fear of COVID. I'm just saying that I'm pretty sure I've had it already and a lot more of you out there had it and don't know it. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello, good afternoon. No? Okay.
Hello.
Yes, hello.
Hey, Juan.
How's it going?
Good. Juan, my concern in reference to the voting process, I hope you can get some more information with the authorities in reference to when we go and cast our vote for our lives. You know the ink that you have to dip your fingers in?
Yeah.
Now, I wonder how they're going to have that sanitized for every person when you go in there. They're going to try and do a different procedure.
They'd say they're going to sanitize, yes.
Yeah, with that ink. And then the main thing as far as with...
They say you sanitize, then dip your hand in the ink, which I don't like either.
Right. You don't know who has COVID, you know. But so you shouldn't discriminate with who, you know, is in quarantine or such. But the workers, the persons who work in the room, who work in that area, I hope they have the plexiglass and they take all precautions in the actual room.
They need to do that outside. But anyway, you know, and in the room, they need to make sure the windows are, don't be having the AC running, make sure the windows are open and the doors are open.
Yeah, I hope they don't think that persons are going to be excited to just come and run and vote and not, you know, look and overlook these things. Because if I reach and I see something that's not right and I'm not comfortable, I'm going to turn around and go back home. Too bad to start.
Yeah,
I'm be safe, you know, life is first and foremost.
I totally understand that.
You stay safe, one. Thank you.
You too. I would wager a modest amount that the government will allow people in who would otherwise be quarantined to vote. This says, John, what? It says, you say they have to pay to come on the show. How much did you charge Monroe? Did he pay? Really is being people better. How much you need to know? Is that something you need to know? How much our station's rates are? Yeah, they're paid interviews. If you're coming on here talking about your political campaign and party during the campaign season, between the point when the election is called and the election is held, they are paid. It says, it's hard to believe I would want to believe that young man spit or curse the police officer, and the police officer punches his teeth out of his mouth. Well, that's what the assistant registrar found, and that's what the court said. It says, Juan, we have a one-layer law enforcement here. The police is policing themselves. That makes it a gang. Juan, I've seen the feds lock up police chiefs and sheriff for breaking the law. Juan, we need a citizen police oversight committee. I agree with you. It says that officer probably got promoted. Yeah. It says, Juan, the other sad part about this situation is that he has to be paid from our taxpayers, you and I. Exactly. Exactly. So you out here wiling out, beating the crap out of people, breaking the law, taking the law into your own hands, and we got to pay. You should pay. They should make you pay him. Since you want to carry on like that. Good afternoon. We guys, let's do this, and then we got to wrap up. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hello, Juan. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Welcome back. And I don't want to be negative, but please, next time that you go on vacation, scan these people who are going to be talking for you, because some of them, I'm sorry to say, were very boring.
No
problem. I know you're going to laugh at that one, but never mind. I just have to make my point. What I've called you about is the Ministry of Education. He needs to get with the teachers who teach these children with special needs, because a good friend of mine, she teaches these children, and she was very upset last week when she found out that they can't have the one-to-one personal
in person learning, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because she said that a lot of these children, she said they will go off like into space and mm-hmm. don't listen to you. She said, because you've got to keep eye to eye contact.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that he really needs to make a definite more or less adjustment with things. Because it's not fair on those children.
Yeah,
you know,
it's
because,
not.
I mean, a lot of them are, as we know, probably living in a different world than what you and I are. But then you can bring them back into whatever you're doing.
Absolutely. Agreed. I think that they need to, in the fastest time possible, take the kids back to class, to in-person learning. But safety measures, you know. Like you do 50% on campus at a time. And then they could do hybrid or whatever. This is why all firearms and forms of protection should be legal in this country, because the government agencies are becoming tyrannical. It says, one, I have two sons, one 17 and one 12. I am petrified they'll experience something like this. My sons are decent young men. I'm scared of them being treated like animals because they're young and black. No, this was a question from Monroe as well. I didn't see that, sorry. It says, ask Monroe if they gave him remdesivir when he went to the hospital. Why would I ask this man about his personal medical issue unprompted? Unless he wanted to discuss that, that's his business. Juan, when did this incident with the police take place? Was this recently? It was in 2015. So Juan, if I have a picture of Adriana Lima on my phone, does that make her my wife? Exactly. Makes no sense. This says, the press release on gov.bs from Lindsay Thompson, August 12th, says the Pfizer vaccine will be available for adults 18 plus and to children 12 to 17 with consent. I'd take that printout to the Grand Bahama Jab Center. I mean, I think they have enough for everybody. That's I think so. I'm going to go double check the number of doses, but it was several hundred thousand, if I'm not mistaken. All right. Sorry, couldn't get to all your texts and your phone calls. We got to get out of here. Apologize. I'll be back tomorrow. God's for life. I believe we'll be speaking with Maxine Seymour, the F&M candidate for Seabreeze. At some point tomorrow. You guys take care out there. Have a great day, Bahamas.